की तुलसी महारानी की हरिनाम संकीर्तन
All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschattani Shukla Hare Krishna. Where is Pankajangri Prabhu? Okay, so why don't you, you know, maybe you can tell us, maybe you can come and sit here.
I hear from you about this topic of monarchical culture, the relevance of Varnashram Dharma for us.
And maybe you can tell us something about the course, like how it's going. And
it's a very good group of aspirants to be servants of all devotees. Many devotees here are head pujaris or some kind or another of leaders. And they were communities from around the world, and they studied for 3 months to do deity worship properly according to Srila Prabhupada's standards. I have heard reports from many students from different places. It's very enlightening for those who have taken the course and those to whom they come back after the course. Also, this considers that for part of this course, the core part of this course should not be just that, not only concerns the technicalities of the Buddha itself, what the Buddha worship itself, but also the philosophy behind it, the culture and
ethics. Yeah. Good. You are from which temple?
I am standing in Vrindavan.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thank you.
And I'm like the teacher here, but on the order of my superiors, I'm trying to serve.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. You are from Australia, right? Yeah. Brisbane?
No, last time I saw you, I was
just
sitting.
Okay, right, that's
true. Now I'm very just new.
Okay.
This, during the 4 months, the students are here. They do a range of topics. This particular unit covers quite a lot of the theory. So we try and train the knowledge, skills and values of being a pujari and training as a Brahmin. So therefore we divide the course up into the sections, practical sections like dressing the deities and cooking for the deities. They do a course on festivals, how to conduct festivals. They do temple worship, worship of Tulsi Day and Samskaras.
Good.
There's a combination of practical skills.
Very good. And you're from which temple?
Slovenia.
Very good. Good.
Central London.
Yeah, right. Silver Street, yeah.
From Kolkata?
Yes, you're from Calcutta, yeah.
I'm from New Gold,
I'm from Australia.
Okay. Yeah. I'm
from New Delhi.
New Delhi.
I see.
Croatia.
You're from Croatia. You've been in Mayapur for some time, right? Yeah, you've been here for some years. I see. And Nimai is from Radhadesh. Very good. He also from Calcutta, yeah?
Yes.
What are you doing? You are quite absorbed in something. Huh? Recording?
From Coventry, UK.
Oh, okay. You're from Coventry. Very good. You're the pujari there?
Yes,
how many pujaris are there?
Maybe 20.
Oh, 20 pujaris. Big setup. Good. And I believe, yeah, you're Mataji, you're from?
From
Croatia. You're also from Croatia. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From
Beijing?
Yes.
Italy. Which? Okay. Mediolanum? Okay. Very good. Okay. You're from?
Russia.
Thank God. And how do you like this program? This is the first time you are taking this course. And the duration of this course is for how long? Year and a half. Oh, 3.5 months. Okay. 3.5 months. That means you started in November?
4th of November,
and it will go until Gaur Purnima. Good. Yeah. 6th of March. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. 6th of February. Yeah. And then what do you all do? You go back to your respective temples, or you settle down in Mayapur? I presume all of you like deity worship, naturally. Or have any of you been forced to come to do the course? And actually our main business is to become Vaishnavas. Our main business is to become devotees. And the situation of a devotee is transcendental. Transcendental means beyond material nature. And material nature means influenced by three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And out of these three modes, two are detrimental to spiritual culture. Mode of ignorance and mode of passion are detrimental to spiritual culture. The mode of goodness is the only one that is conducive to spiritual culture. Therefore, one has to, in order to make spiritual advancement, or in order to become eligible for spiritual life, one must become situated in the mode of goodness. And that mode of goodness is the Brahminical platform. So that's why the Brahminical culture is so important. The Vedic culture is predominantly Brahminical culture. The other cultures that are going on in the name of culture in this world, they are based on mostly in the mode of passion. And some culture, you can, if at all you can call it the culture, animalistic culture, that's in the mode of ignorance. And at the same time, with the understanding that living entities in this material nature will be in different modes, will be affected by different modes. The Vedic culture has very systematically designed the human activities in the society in such a way that irrespective of his mode, one can eventually come to the mode of goodness. And that's why we find, like, there are Puranas, there are Tantras, there are activities. They are also in different modes. There are Puranas, scriptures, in the mode of ignorance. It doesn't mean that they are meant to be, they are actually the Puranas in the mode of ignorance. But they were, those Puranas are actually meant to elevate one from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion. Then there are the Puranas that are in the mode of passion. They are meant to elevate one from the passion to goodness. And then when one comes to the mode of goodness, then actually he is properly situated and he becomes qualified to begin his actual spiritual life or devotional service. Tada rajastamo bhava kamo lobha dayaschaji cheto eto ir anabiddham sthitang shakti prasidati. The mode of passion and ignorance will simply breed kama lobha adaya. Kama lobha adaya means lust, greed, etc. This etc. signifies anger, illusion, pride, envy. Therefore, as long as we are in the mode of influenced by the mode of ignorance and passion, our activities will be very, very mundane, and those activities will tie us down to this material nature. That's why it's important that we eventually come to the platform of mode of goodness. Sthitam satya prasidati. And then one becomes evang prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah. Then his mentality, his consciousness becomes content. He becomes content internally, prasanna manasu. And then only he becomes qualified to bhagavad bhakti yogatah. Bhagavad bhakti yogatah. Then he becomes qualified to render devotional service or come to the platform of rendering devotional service. So it's a very scientific and a very systematic process. Now so this was the thing, like ultimately one used to come to the mode of goodness, become Brahminical, and then from Brahminical platform he would go into gradually into the Vaishnava platform. Not that every Brahmana became a Vaishnava, but the goal of a Brahmana was to become a Vaishnava. Because to be a Vaishnava is the ultimate goal of life. To be a Brahman is not the constitutional position of a living entity. The constitutional position of a living entity is to become the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jiver Swarup hai, Krishner Nitya Das. Therefore we find that there are many Brahmans in the Vedic culture, in the Vedic history. But the number of Vaishnavas are very, very few. Of course, spiritual life, spiritual world is full of Vaishnavas. But the material world, there are very few Vaishnavas. But there has been a revolution in the spiritual culture of this world. And that revolution has been caused by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is... Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started a very unique process in the age of Kali. In one hand, the people in the age of Kali are very degraded, very fallen. But at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this most elevated, most exalted asset of the spiritual sky, the most coveted asset of the spiritual sky, available for the living entities of the age of Kali. In other ages, one had to be really exceptionally qualified to become a Vaishnava. But in this age, this qualification of a Vaishnava has become very easily and very readily available for anyone and everyone. Mahaprabhu is going out of his way to distribute this Krishna consciousness. So, this is the unique thing about Krishna consciousness movement. Another thing we can consider, like, this Vedic culture or Brahminical culture was available only in India. So much so that one would not even go out of India. The Brahminical people, if they went out of India, that means if they went across the ocean, it was considered that he has lost his credibility. They used to consider that to go across the ocean means you have become fallen. I mean, still now, some of the, even some Vaishnav societies, some Vaishnav sampradayas, still today consider going abroad is a degrading activity. Like, I know one leader of the Madhva sampradaya, he once confided in us that he can't go abroad. He appreciates Srila Prabhupada, and he also wishes that he could go abroad and also spread this culture. But he told us that he can't do that, because if he did that, then he will be ostracized, and he is the leader of their sampradaya. Madhva Sampradaya has 8 leaders, Mathathis, and they go in cycle. One after another becomes the head of the institution, entire Sampradaya. And he is one of them. So you can see still now this kind of orthodox concepts are prevalent. Why? Because they haven't been exposed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This is the uniqueness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the other hand, we find, what did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada's whole mission throughout his life was to go abroad. That is the uniqueness of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's first instruction to Prabhupada was, go abroad. Whereas other sampradayas were going and telling, don't go abroad. Don't go across the ocean. If you do that, then you'll become fallen. And Prabhupada not only went there, Prabhupada actually revived the Vedic culture in America and brought that back to India. Actually, if Prabhupada did not bring Krishna consciousness back to India, I don't know what would have happened to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Prabhupada brought his dancing white elephants from the West. Are you all familiar with that concept? The dancing white elephants. When Prabhupada brought the Western devotees to India, he named them as his dancing white elephants. And Prabhupada said that that white elephants are rare. And if that white elephant dances, it becomes even more exciting. He brought his so-called dancing white elephants, and that created a sensation. The Western devotees chanting and dancing, and many Indians started to wonder, What happened to them? We are trying to become, we are trying to go to the West, and we are thinking that the ultimate goal of our life is to go to the West and make a lot of money. And these people, they have rejected everything, and they are practicing the culture which is very much of our own. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada actually created an unique influence in the consciousness of the Indians of that time. And we are seeing the result of it today. Like, in India, Krishna consciousness is booming, and it will boom even more. Prabhupada created a sensation in America when he went there, and those young American boys and girls, they went across the world, went around the world, distributed Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada actually gave the most precious spiritual object, Golokiro Premodhan. And Prabhupada established temples. Temples means deities. The deities are essential, deity worship is essential. And in this way, in the material platform, people get to know who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Otherwise, people would not quite understand what the Holy Name is. In this age, the Holy Name is Krishna Himself. The process for this age is actually chanting the Holy Name. That is the process for this age. But for a layman, it will be difficult to understand the actual import of the Holy Name. And that's why Prabhupada felt the need of establishing temples around the world. And Prabhupada established so many temples. And in the when one comes to a temple, then one gets to know that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he appears to be like a statue, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His form is of eternity, knowledge and bliss, Satchidananda Vigraha. And he may look like a statue, but the way the devotees treat him, deal with him, is very unique. They dress him in the most exquisite way. They offer him the most delicious foodstuff. And their whole life actually revolves around those deities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way we are getting to know how to lead a life with Krishna in the center. And that's why Prabhupada actually established another unique thing of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada established a standard of deity worship which is unique even in India. The way the ISKCON, the way the deities are decorated, deities are dressed, the shringar of the deities in ISKCON temple, you don't see that in any temple. On the other hand, you go to the temples in Vrindavan even, you see it's pathetic, it's painful to watch the way the deities are being treated. Only once in a while they change the dresses, and the dresses are worn out, the dresses are... Anyway, I mean that's why people in India have been losing their respect for the Indian culture, because there is no heartfelt commitment of these pujaris and things. In South India there is a lot of... There they have maintained the culture to a great extent, but it's so rigid and so dry. Whereas in ISKCON it's all so exciting, so full of emotions and feelings and heartfelt love. The way the deities are dressed, the way the deities are treated, the way the deities are fed, offered food, and it's... And Prabhupada set the standard, And now that standard must be maintained. And I can well imagine that this course is actually designed to establish that standard, proper standard in a proper way. It needs two things. In one hand, it needs scriptural support, the shastric understanding, and at the same time, it needs that heartfelt love for the deities, the commitment to the deity worship that Srila Prabhupada established. And it's unique actually. I mean, if we consider like what Srila Prabhupada, in a way we can see what Srila Prabhupada actually did. Srila Prabhupada used, first of all, we have to understand that Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON in America. Srila Prabhupada's assistants, the main assistants actually came from the young American boys and girls. And Prabhupada actually used their talents in establishing the standard. They are very expert. The Westerners are very expert in arranging things, decorating things. They are very artistic, many of them. So Prabhupada used their artistic talents to dress the deities. But when it came to cooking food, they were not so expert. So Prabhupada, who was expert, he taught them how to cook food. And Prabhupada also sent some devotees to India to get trained up, like Mother Jamuna. And so Prabhupada set up ISKCON in the most amazing way. And this International Society for Krishna Consciousness actually meant to create, it has already created a revolution in this world, and now this is meant to take over the world. A cultural revolution, a spiritual culture is going to be established. So, I'm very happy to see that you all have accepted this process so sincerely, and you have committed yourselves so wonderfully, and now learned the standard of deity worship that Srila Prabhupada established, and now you go and implement it in your respective temples and train others. Now you get trained here, and then you go back and you train the other pujaris there. And as I was told at the beginning, like this course has, I think, two main aspects: dressing the deities and cooking prasad. These are the two most important aspects of deity worship. And of course, worshipping the deity is already there. And that has to be done with heartfelt love. Thank you all very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
You mentioned that in the beginning you worship Radha Krishna deities in the Lakshmi Narayan mood because you're not qualified yet. At the same time, Sanatana has brought the Radha Marg, and I really love how he brought out this aspect of our deep worship is filled with heartfelt love.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So, could you please say something more about this difference between Lakshmi Narayana mood in worshipping Radha Krishna, and how can it and will it transform, or what can, how long should it take?
Yeah, the, you see, deity worship in temple generally is according to Vaidhi Bhakti, or following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Therefore, the deity worship in the temple is in Vaikuntha mood, which means Lakshmi Narayan. But ISKCON movement is actually a Raganuga bhakti. One may question why, how it's Raganuga bhakti. I will put this briefly, I will put it in this way. Raganuga bhakti means following the rag atmika bhakta, the loving devotees, following the footsteps of the loving devotees of Vrindavan is Raganuga bhakti. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So, in simple words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So he is Radharani, he is actually displaying Radharani's mood. Right? Now, who is the greatest Ragatmika Bhakta? Srimati Radharani. So when you are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose mood are you following? Radharani's mood. So followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are naturally Raganuga bhaktas. But these both are actually harmonized perfectly. Mahaprabhu is being worshipped in Vaidya Bhakti. But by following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are coming to Raganuga Bhakti. And that's why the most important consideration in our worship is not so much when you are worshipping the deities in the temple, it must be according to Vaidya Bhakti. But that Vaidya predominant factor of that worship is actually the heartfelt love in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Distribute the mercy of Radha Krishna. So that is how I would elaborate. Like, yes, the deity worship must be executed according to Vaidhi Bhakti, according to the injunctions of the scriptures. But at the same time, the deity worship should be executed with a heartfelt love. And ultimately, where the deities are going to be worshipped? The deities are the Lord in the heart manifested externally. So ultimate worship of the deity is taking place in the heart. The deity in the heart has become manifested there. So when you're worshipping him there, we are also worshipping him here in our heart. And ultimate worship is in the heart. And if we get too much caught up with the vidhi, rules and regulations, then that mood may be hindered. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It was a pleasure meeting you all. And I wish you all the best.